Our scripture passage for today comes from Luke chapter 10. Listen now for God's holy word. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these two do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Black people in America have been living within a terrible and unbearable reality. A black member of our Montgomery community shared last night during a virtual rally about her experience here in America. With all truth and honesty, she told those who would listen that the moment each of her 3 black sons were born, she was filled not with joy, not with gladness, not with hope, but with a feeling of fear. Fear for them. Fear for what their lives would be. Fear for what would be done to them in this country. And she told us that that fear has never left her. And why would her fears ever subside? Listening to the voices of black Americans these past 2 weeks, it is clear that fear is a reality for most, if not all, black people in this country. When it comes to the daily experience of leaving their homes for work or school, or to take a jog, or to go bird watching, or to go to the grocery store, they live in fear. Fear of violence, fear of the police, fear of dying, and dying in a world that seems not to care about their lives. They fear white vigilantes, like those who chased down and murdered Ahmaud Arbery in the streets of his own neighborhood. They feared white people. They fear white people, like the woman in Central Park who called the cops on a black birdwatcher to falsely claim that he, a black man, was threatening her, a white woman. She did this knowing that an interaction between a white woman and a black man and a police officer was likely to benefit her and likely to be disastrous for the man who was black, no matter the reality or the truth of the situation itself. In our country, even here in Montgomery, in our town, black people live in fear. They live in fear that someone, for any reason at all, might call the cops, and that those police will act with impunity and perhaps feel threatened, and in a moment, or perhaps within the eternity of 8 minutes and 46 seconds, will snuff out the life of a son, or a father, or a brother, or a wife, or a mother, or a sister, or a daughter. Not only do black people live in fear, it is also clear, listening to black voices these past 2 weeks, that many live with a feeling of hopelessness. Many feel hopeless that anything will ever change for them, for their children, for any generation to come. The deck is stacked against black people in our country in so many ways. Like vines which creep up the trunk of and branches of a tree and choke it slowly over years. Black people's lives have been oppressed and choked and inhibited in countless ways. Ways that make it harder for black people in our country to access those things that are necessary for success and advancement. Financial resources, healthy food, proper medicine and healthcare, education, housing, employment opportunities, and opportunities of all kinds. People of God, I know that some of you and your families have worked hard to climb the socioeconomic ladder here in America, but we have to realize that for us, for white people, the ladder is there to climb and the rungs are set for us on that ladder in such a way that with work and with education and healthy lifestyles, with perseverance, we can reach the next rung and help to pull ourselves up. People of God, the effects of slavery, the effects of Jim Crow era laws and practices, the effects of institutional racism and the assumption in our country of white supremacy and black inferiority, they have all combined to leave black people with a ladder whose rungs are set so far apart that few are able to change their situation in meaningful or significant ways. This week, I saw a reputable news source reporting that in Minneapolis, the city where George Floyd was killed, to get a certain size loan for a new home, a white family on average needed to have a certain modest income on average. And that being black meant that in order to obtain that same home loan, the statistics showed that a black family needed to have almost three times that same level of income on average before the banks would afford them that same home loan. Middle-class black families, they don't have the same opportunities that middle-class white families have in our country. That was true when my grandparents were building their family home in the suburbs of Grand Rapids, Michigan in the 1950s, and it is still true today. Housing, education, nutrition, healthcare, protection under and before the law, all of it is worse for black people than for white people in our country. And why? Why is that the case? Why is it harder for black people in America? There is a terrible lie that when we think about it, we know is wrong. We know that it is garbage and nonsense, but it was taught to us in so many ways, both overt and subtle, that we still at times fall prey to its allure, its trap, and its evil and hateful consequences. There is a terrible lie which was created to justify slavery in the first place, which says that black people are by nature worse than white people. The lie tells us that black people are less capable, less intelligent, less qualified, less able, less responsible, less of everything when compared to white people. This, the lie tells us, is why black people struggle in America. This, the lie tells us, is why black people have it harder than white people. This, the lie tells us, is why black people are more often slain by the police. It is because there is something about black people deep within them that leads them to worse outcomes. People of God, in the presence of God, and in the context of our shared confession of faith, we must do everything we can to denounce this lie, this heresy, and to lobotomize this false doctrine from our hearts and from our minds. Our theology, our scriptures, our shared beliefs as Christians, they tell us that there are not two humanities, black and white, and that God made one of them better than the other. Theology, scripture, our beliefs, and the Spirit of God herself, they testify to us, they tell us that there is one humanity which God created in God's beautiful image, one humanity which God breathed into the breath of life, one humanity which God so loves, one humanity in which we all share. People of God, there is one humanity into which the Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh and was born and lived and died and rose again for the purpose of bringing this one humanity into the unity and abundance of salvation and resurrection life. If this confession isn't enough, if the witness of the gospel wasn't enough, and it should be, but if our confession isn't enough, if we still find ourselves wondering about this lie, tangled in its vines, then know this day that science has confirmed this reality. The lie of white supremacy, the lie of black inferiority, science has shown biologically that there is no distinction, no difference between people of different skin colors. Race is not a biological reality. We are one, black and white, Asian and African, European and First Peoples, Latin and Slavic, no matter where we are from or what we look like or what cultures we are a part of, we are one humanity before God and inherently capable of living the abundant and good lives that God has created for us to live here in this world. And what stands in the way of black Americans is the wickedness of racism, institutional, structural, systematic racism, as well as the racism that is overt and loud and proud. People of God, what does God require of us? What must we do to enter eternal life? The answer is both clear and difficult. A high and good calling which calls us to self-giving, self-sacrificial action. We are to love God with all that we are and all that we have, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. When Jesus confirmed that this was the way to live, he was asked a follow-up question. How far must my love extend? Who gets the benefits of my love? Where can I draw the line? A parable from the Son of God followed. A man left his home. Like so many black people in America, he left his home and ventured out into a world that for him was dangerous. He was mugged, robbed, beaten, and left on the side of the road to die. A servant of God came walking along the road. He was dressed in his Sunday best, and when he saw the man beaten and lying there, he crossed over to the other side. A second servant of God came by, and he too looked the other way. He turned his head and pretended that he just couldn't see. People of God, for too long, we have turned our heads, closed up our ears, and pretended like we just couldn't see. For too long, we have crossed over to the other side of the road. It is time to see. It is time to see clearly the needs of our neighbors. And it is time that we entered into eternal life. Last night, a black member of our community, she spoke truth. She said that this isn't just an issue for black people in our town or our world. She rightly declared that our souls are at stake in this. It is time. It is time to see. It is time to see clearly the needs of our neighbors and to begin to live in eternal life. Amen.